نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم وقال تعالى أيضا ولا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا Respected ulama ikram brothers, firstly is the common practice in the majalis that Hakim Asad Rahmatullah Ali used to commonly say that in our shaykhs here that we should always start with one sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the sunnah that we should try, inshallah, let us try and bring this alive. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so beautifully says, لا تدخلوا الجنة حتى تؤمنوا. You will not enter Jannah until you possess Iman. وَلَا تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُوا. You do not possess Iman until you love one another. And then the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam outlined the recipe of success by saying, أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعُلْتُمُوا تَحَابَبْتُمْ. Should I not show you such a quality of certain actions? If you do it, it will foster muhabbat between you. أَخْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Make salam common amongst you. أُكْرَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاتُ السَّلَامِ. We find that in a time where technologically we are advancing, we are moving very fast ahead, but at the same time, and when it comes to a spiritual level, you will find many people, illa mashallah, are retrogressing and moving backwards. And it is in this time as well that my topic that I have been given is on illicit affairs and the sins of the eyes. And we find that this is a common problem, and how do we find a large from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And we know that the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, life Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهُ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. That in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is an example, it's a beautiful example. And because we know Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. That O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're in a very exalted pedestal of character. So we find and we find our solutions here. We will discuss some of the problems, and inshallah we will try firstly myself to put this into practice, because it's very easy to slip, and that is why we need the mashayikh, and we need to sit in the company of the pious, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha wa kunu ma'as-sadiqin. That Allah is telling us that we should sit with those people who are righteous and the pious, because those qualities will rub off. So as we said, we look in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu so beautifully says in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأَحْسَنَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَقَتُ عَيْنِي وَأَجْمَلَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّعًا مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ كَأَنَّمَا قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ. That he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, more magnificent than you my eye has never seen, more beautiful than you no woman has ever given birth to. You have been created free from every kind of blemish and imperfection. It is as though you told Allah to create you like that, and Allah fashioned you. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been sent. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Firstly, we need to understand a concept that there is the ruh, which is the soul that is in the body, and there is the nafs. The nafs is the desires that a person has, and each person has it, and we have to bring those desires under control. The example of this is appears in the Masnawi of Mawlana Rumi rahmatullah alayh, as explained by our Sheikh Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar rahmatullah alayh, that he mentions that the ruh is like the example of the rider of the horse, and the horse would be the nafs. Now, as long as the conveyance of the rider is in control, then it's relatively safe. But no sooner does it turn the other way around, then you will find that the horse will be running everywhere. Like the nafs, if a person is fulfilling all his carnal desires and doing every type of haram and wrong, then it will take him away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا. And we find our deen is so beautiful that from the root it eliminates the root of the problem. We don't go into some haram and wrong and then later on say, now let's look at the symptoms and let's cure it. No. Rather, from the very onset, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say, do not go near zina. Allah says, Allah doesn't say, do not commit zina. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not go near zina. And we find that the first step to zina is by looking at haram and wrong. And in today's time, we can find, unfortunately, that you will find that people are dating, people are going on a date, etc. Now, this is a camouflage. Why is it a camouflage? Because you will find that for that 7 years or 8 years that people are living in that illicit affair and having that haram and wrong relationship, you will find that everything is camouflage. A man will hide his haram and wrong. He will hide his bad habits. He will never show it in front of the woman he wants to perhaps get married to, if he wants to get married, if that was his intention. The woman, she will hide her haram and wrong. They will love like this. And I can remember a few years ago, I think it was mentioned by Hazrat, he mentioned this incident of two people that got married, and they were old couple that got married. So when they got married, it was the first night, and they met each other. So now the reality comes out at that time. So here comes the husband, and he is waiting for his wife. He's waiting in the bedroom for his wife, and he's waiting very patiently. She says, "I'm coming." She goes to the bathroom, and then you just hear a little plop. And in the water, she takes out her false teeth and she puts it into the water. So her husband is a bit upset about the whole thing because he's seeing that, you know, this thing transpiring. That he didn't know he's getting married to a woman that puts false teeth. So he's one up and he takes out his prosthetic arm and he puts it one side of the bed. So this woman says, "Wait, I'll teach him, I'll fix him up." And then she removes her wig and she puts it next to the false teeth. So she's got no hair and she's got the false teeth. So he takes out his prosthetic leg and he puts it one side. Now the two of them want to open up Kitabun Nikah. Now they shouldn't open up Kitabun Nikah, rather they must open up Kitabul Janaza. Because this is a camouflage. So this is the reality of it. You only realize when a person will get married, and if it's done the halal way, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses that marriage, etc. You will find also the ways of the kuffar. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so beautifully says, "Man tasabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum," or kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, that person who imitates a nation is from among them. People that will have this Valentine's Day, etc., it's not the behaving of a Muslim to behave that way and to do that, because it's a camouflage. We do not behave like that. And if you look at it, the foolishness of it, people would go and buy expensive gifts for somebody, and then the other party doesn't know who gave it. So there's a certain person, he bought it for some woman, and only to realize that she's under the impression that it's a certain person that likes her, but in the meantime, it's not that person that sent the gift. So it's something which is so foolish, and our deen is so beautiful, it's so crystal clear. It's like, you know, the example of a GPS. Commonly we try to tell the students this example, that the GPS is there for a person, for a maqsad, to take a person to a certain destination. Our deen is like that. It's a GPS, it gives us exact coordinates, and it gives us the place of destination. So we've got to type in where we want to go to, and it will guide us. Now if a person wants to go, by way of example, he wants to go to Durban, but every time he's prompted to do a certain action, example, in 100 meters turn there, he decides, "No, I won't turn 100 meters, I think I'll go across this river." And then 6-7 hours later, he lands up in, example, Maputo. So he was supposed to go to Durban, but he landed up in Maputo. So now he takes the GPS and he wants to throw it away. So we'll say that's foolishness, because he did not follow the coordinates. Our deen is so beautifully, everything is there. Everything is in the Quran, everything is in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we should abstain from the haram and the wrong. Another common problem that the person will find, and there's solutions to everything. When we allow our women to go out into the workplaces, then the problem that comes about is, then the woman has the authority, she feels, "I earn more money than my husband." And then this is where the illicit relationship starts, because now she goes to work, when she meets somebody there on that side, he sees her all dolled up, etc. And now he starts taking a liking to her, she has her problems, and women, when they're emotional, they're looking for that leaning shoulder, the man comes along and he becomes the leaning shoulder. Allah save us from it. And when this starts, provocative dressing, etc., it's all immodesty and behaya is found in these places, then you will find that all these type of things start happening. People are texting each other, illicit affairs are happening even though people are married, and this causes problems, never mind, it breaks down the moral fiber of society, and you will find that there's retrogression in this ummah. You will also find, unfortunately, it's sad to say, but sometimes there were incidents where people were texting each other, men believing that he's texting somebody that he likes, unaware that the person that he was texting was his own mother. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save it. Save us from this. It's a disgrace. And may Allah keep us away from haram and wrong. Also, people sometimes, unfortunately, the places that we attend, we should at all times be cognizant that I cannot go to a certain place, because this haram place will bring my izzah down. If a person is visiting a haram place, example the jam, etc., there is behaya, people don't have any worry about the aura, they don't cover the aura. And then later on in life people have a problem because now homosexuality becomes a problem. As Hazrat said last night, masturbation becomes a problem. People start having these type of problems and marriages cannot be sustained anymore because the haram and the wrong is taking place. So if we go to haram places, the example of this is like taking a lion. Person goes into the shopping area and he takes a lion with him, and then he addresses the lion that, you know what, you should eat everything, you can eat all the vegetables, but any human being you mustn't eat. So we know that's not going to happen. So if we go and put ourselves into haram places, then we are asking for problem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this. And then the important thing is to get the nafs under control. Very important that we have the himmat, as Hazrat said last night, that we have the himmat to control and put the nafs under control. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put it in our capability. A person cannot say, I do not have the ability, this haram and this wrong is overwhelming, how do I get through this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, بَعْدَهُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. The mafhum of the ayat, that Allah does not place a burden on a person except that which he can bear. So whatever test we go through in our life, if it means we have to control our eyesight, we are controlling it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the Masnawi of Mawlana Rumi rahmatullah alayhi, under the ayat of وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتُ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, he writes so beautifully and so beautifully explained by Hazrat Akim Akhtar rahmatullah alayhi. He mentioned so beautifully that under this ayat, look at the example here. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتُ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Firstly, qisas means that when a person kills somebody, then the murderer has to be killed. And there is life for people in this. Why there is life in it? Because if we leave the murderer in the loose, then he will go about causing havoc and chaos. He might murder many other people. But if his life is taken, then it becomes an example for everybody else, and you will find that there won't be people that are murdered, and everybody will be relatively safe. Similarly, this nafs, we've got to kill this nafs. When the haram and the wrong comes about, we've got to control our nafs. When we control and we kill the nafs, then there will be hayat and there will be life. There will be a ruhani life. And what type of a life? A life of happiness. Because a haram life and an illicit relationship brings about temporary pleasure. But ultimately, it's shaitan that creates this problem. And then when shaitan makes a person do haram and wrong, and after everybody is in a problem, then shaitan says, Inni bari ummink, I am free from you. I had nothing to do with the whole thing. And that is the nature of what happens in our life, that you will find that a person gets involved in haram and wrong, and then now he's looking and he says, shaitan made me do this, because he did not control his nafs, and yes, shaitan was part of it, and then shaitan runs away and this person is in a big problem. So we need to control our nafs and kill the nafs every time we have every kind of desire, etc. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so beautifully says in the hadith, Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'da al-maut, wal-ajizu man atwa'a nafsahu hawaha wa tamanna ala Allah, aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. Who is an intelligent person? An intelligent person is not that person that has a lot of degrees, etc. No. Intelligent person is that person Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'da al-maut, who controls and he curbs his desires, his lust, etc. He curbs it, he holds back. He doesn't do haram and wrong because he knows, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Does he not know that Allah is watching? At all times, إِسْتَسْتِ قَلْبَكْ, that our head is so close to our heart, because we need to ask the mufti that is inside here, this haram is I'm going to do. I'm going to do some haram and wrong, or I'm going to do this action. Will it please Allah or will it displease Allah? A Muslim needs to be attentive at all times. So that person that controls his lips is an intelligent person, and he does actions which will assist him after his demise. وَالْعَاجِزُ مَنْ أَتْبَعَ نَفْسَهُ هَوَاهَا وَتَمَنَّ عَلَى اللَّهِ, and a foolish person is that person who follows his base desires and then he has hope in Allah's rahmat and mercy. We all know Allah's rahmat and mercy is so Allah is ghafoorul raheem. When a person is zalim, Allah is ghafir. When a person is zallam, Allah is ghafar. When a person is zaloom, Allah is ghafoor. Allah is ghafoorul raheem. But also, brothers, we cannot do haram and wrong. It's like the example of planting maize and then expecting tomatoes to grow. It won't help. It doesn't work like that in life. So when we do halal and we do right things and we turn back to tawbah, in tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will make it that we will change our life. If we look in the Masnawi of Mawlana Rumi rahmatullah alayhi again, there's a beautiful, it's under the title, Fir'auniyat of the Nafs. And beautifully it's mentioned that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمْ هَلِمْ تَلَأْتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will address Jahannam and say, هَلِمْ تَلَأْتِ Are you full? And Jahannam will say, هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ Is there more? And this is the desire, this is the nafs. This is the nafs, how it works. That when a person does haram and wrong, he's never content with it. He keeps on wanting more and more. Even if it means that he's seen a million women. Nay, he's seen the women full of, he's seen the planet full of women. But the nafs comes to him and whispers into his ear that there's still one more woman you haven't seen. Then he wants to see that one more woman. It will never find contentment. A person will never find happiness. They will always be restless. A person will never be happy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it that inshallah we lead a life that is in conformity to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We need to leave the filthy places of haram and wrong. And also, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Ibadur Rahman in Para 19, that yudha'af, those people, some people, they will make mistakes in life. We are human beings, we can make mistakes. And if a person made a mistake in their life, yudha'af lahu al-azabu yawm al-qiyamati wa yakhlut fihi mu'ana. That when a person commits zina, then a person, his punishment will be doubled in the akhirah. Illa man tab, except those whom make tawbah, wa amana, and they bring iman, wa amila amalan salihan. What will Allah do when they will do righteous actions? أُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيَّادٍ حَسَنَاتٍ. Allah will change all their bad into good. Allah is Ghafur Rahim. Allah loves to change. Imagine the person is doing every type of haram and wrong, but then he makes tawbah to Allah and he says, Allah, I want to lead a good life, Allah. So firstly, myself, each one of us here, as we sit here in this masjid, let us make this intention, Allah. Let us lead a good life. Let us sit at our Shaykh, inshallah. Let us sit and let us gain these things and whatever we are learning, inshallah, in this Islahi Ijtima, let us practice upon it, inshallah. Allah, I don't want to leave this masjid except that whatever haram and wrong, Allah, you've concealed me, you are satar, Allah. Cover my haram and my wrong, Allah. Make today the turning point in my life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive our sins, inshallah. Also, in conclusion, just for 2 minutes to remain, inshallah, we will find that this topic is very vast and many of the topics will be covered, inshallah, and obviously I am nothing here. There are many senior ulama that will be able to address us, inshallah. Another very important thing as far as the gaze is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell the believing men that they should lower their gazes. And the next ayat, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ. That they should, believing women, they should also control their gazes, they should lower their gazes, and they should protect their private parts. So both men and women have been given the instruction to lower their gazes. It's not only for men. Now many a times you will find people mock the hadith. This is a mockery to the hadith, and we should be very careful as far as hadith, etc. are concerned. We do not mock any ayat of the Quran in hadith of Rasulullah SAW. So a person, you know, he makes a statement, A'udhu Billah, that it's one gaze and I'm allowed to look, so you must look long. That's not the right thing to do, brothers. It causes hurt in the heart. This is the hadith of Rasulullah SAW. How can we mock the hadith of Rasulullah SAW? Also looking at the mustahab places in Salah, inshallah, if we try and do these things, inshallah, it will control our, we'll be able to control our gaze, inshallah, and we should perform long nafil Salah as well, inshallah. Utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitabi wa aqim al-salah, inna al-salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. What will Salah do? It will prohibit and keep us away from fahsha, all indecency and wrong and haram things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it, inshallah, that Allah firstly grants me the tawfiq, inshallah, and grant each one of us the tawfiq and the ability to lead a life which is in conformity to how Allah wants us to lead in the life, in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallah wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka.
Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem, amma ba'd. Respected ulama ikram, fathers and elders, most honorable sheikh. Our maqsad, object and aim of existence is the marifat of Allah, the recognition of Allah. And in proportionate to the recognition of Allah, will we realize our insignificance, our loneliness, our helplessness. The more the marifat, the more the recognition of Allah in our lives, the more humble we'll be. Reason being, we will realize and attribute every achievement and every good that has come our way to Allah Ta'ala. We will negate everything, we will annihilate ourselves, and this is the essence of tasawwuf and Islam. If we look at the life of our Kabirin, they had their focus always on Allah. And they never attributed anything to themselves. And the fear that these bounties may be snatched from me at any time kept them always humble. Once Mullah Zakariya Rahmatullah Alayhi, as a Shaykh al-Hadith, we know what a man he was, how much work Allah has taken from him, how his kitabs are accepted in the world. One day he was in Karachi in Makki Masjid, and Mullah Ihsan narrates this incident. And he says when he was there, after Asr Salah, there was a long queue waiting to make Musafa with Hazrat Shaykh Hamdullah. And this was the normal practice. And in the line there were great, great ulama, great, great people who had spent a lot of time in the path of Allah. And like this, Hazrat Shaykh used to greet everybody. And then he used to go in his room. So when Mullah Ihsan went in the room with Hazrat Shaykh Hamdullah, Hazrat Shaykh Hamdullah told him that Mawlana, do you know when they are greeting me what I read? Hazrat Mawlana Ihsan said, no, Hazrat. He said, when they are greeting me, I'm reading this dua, Alhamdulillah alladhi adhara alayya al-jameel wa satara alayya qabih. That, oh my Allah, it is your mercy, all praises for you who have made my good apparent and have made satariyat, has covered my weakness and my evil. People of that caliber, look at their humility. That's why ulama ikram explain, the more a person has ilm, and the more a person has the marifat of Allah, the more he will be humble in front of Allah. Because he will realize how insignificant he is in the eyes of Allah. There is no room for pride and to attribute any achievement to himself. They explain that when a seed refuses to be put in the ground and refuses for sand to be thrown on it, then it will never germinate, it will never flourish, it will never remain to a plant and become benefit for the ummah. Until that seed is willing to be planted in the ground and sand to be thrown on it, then that will become beneficial, will come into a tree and many people will benefit from it. So does the ulama give example, if people of ilm and people are doing the khidmat of deen, if they do not allow their nafs to be subdued and to be suppressed, and don't allow to be given instruction by seniors, by our shuyukh, so to say, sent to be thrown, so where to be guided, then the person will never be a benefit for the ummah. Just like a teapot, if that teapot refuses to bend down, the contents of that teapot will never come out. Only when that teapot is bending, then it will be able to pour out its contents. And this is a sign of humility. If you look at a person climbing a mountain, how is his posture? His posture is bending. And generally, bending posture is a posture of humility, but it's going up. And if you're looking at someone coming down from the mountain, his posture is upright to gain stability. And that generally is an expression and a posture of pride. But we know in reality he's coming down. So ulama ikram explained that if you look at a tree that is filled with fruit, the branches are always laden down, in humility. And the trees that are bare, they're always sticking high, the branches are sticking high in the sky. That's why ulama ikram always, you see our pious priests, our elders from before, the fear always troubled them. And they always kept their gaze on Allah and always say, Ya Allah, the fear of Allah, do not snatch what you have given me. If Allah Ta'ala has given them izzat, Ya Allah, it is your favor, your kindness, your mercy. Once Mawlana Yunus Qutb Rahmatullah Alayh was taken by a few people to the botanical gardens, and all the beautiful flowers were there. And just for a moment he stopped, and he turned around to the people that were there with him, and he said, do you take lesson from this? So he said, what lesson must we take? He said, don't you see those beautiful flowers there on top? He said, yes, Hazrat, we see. He said, look down. Beneath the tree, there was a whole bed of flowers on the floor. He said, not very long, that same flowers was just exactly in those places where those other flowers are there in that high position. In seconds, Allah dropped it. It dropped to the ground, and today people are trampling upon it. And then with tears in his eyes, he said, Allah can drop a person anytime. At one stage, he can be on a high pedestal, and seconds, Allah can drop him down. The fear is, Master Jai Allah, do not take away what you have given to me. Attribute everything, and this humility is a quality of the awliya. That they always presented themselves in a humble way, and they always was concerned. One person asked Maulana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Ali, Sadra, what you do with all the praises that come to you? So he said, he said that the best remedy for this is to always be conscious, what is my position in the eyes of Allah? People can praise me in this world, people can criticize me in the world, but what position do I hold in Allah's eyes? What is Allah's opinion regarding me? And that will always keep us humble. And that us always will put that fear, that pride will never enter. We will not allow this poison that emanates from the nafs. Generally the nafs loves to be praised. The nafs loves patting on the back. And then it starts releasing the poison of pride and arrogance and it left all this, and ujub, etc. And the remedy for this is to say, people are praising it is Allah's mercy, Allah has covered my fault. One great Khalifa of Malana, Masila Rahmatullah Ali, one day he was conducting a majlis, and he just on the spur of the moment said, that if Allah Ta'ala had to reveal my reality, leave alone you people sitting in my majlis, even dogs won't attend my majlis. This was the humility that they always, and this is how Allah Ta'ala elevated them. By having this quality of humility, we always hear the ulama give the hadith, man tawadha lillah rafa'ahu Allah. When a person humbles himself before Allah, Allah will elevate him and Allah will exalt him. And this is the quality one alim was explaining. He said the best expression of servitude lies in salah. When a person is in salah, that is the best expression for him to show his servitude to Allah. And in salah, the most humble position is a person when he is in sajda, when his forehead is on the ground before Allah. He said in that position, ulama explained, he's the closest to Allah. To teach you and I, that in the most humble position, you become the closest to Allah. And shaitan will not allow this. Every second shaitan in nafs teams up in order to somersault us from the pedestal of hidayat, waiting for opportunity. When once Malana, I heard from one of the Khalifas of Mufti, Malana Masila Rahmatullah Alayh, that Malana Masila Rahmatullah Alayh had mentioned that shaitan did a very great favor for this ummah in inverted commas. He said, shaitan did a very great favor for this ummah in that he showed us the recipe to destruction. He showed us the recipe how to get destroyed through pride, arrogance, etc. And the Ambiya alayhi salatu wasalam showed us the recipe for acceptance, humility. Whenever unintentional mistake is to immediately turn to Allah with humility and repentance. So my beloved brothers, this quality is an amazing quality. It will be a magnet to bring people towards you, and the opposite quality will be a thing to repel people from you. Once Malana Yunus Pune Rahmatullah Ali, he was the Amir of the Maharashtra area. So we were working in the Pune area, and most of the people speak about the salient quality of humility in his life. He said it stood out. And that had the greatest impact on the people, and it was a magnet for bringing people towards him, towards the deen. And anyone you speak to me, they said one thing that stood out in Maulana's life was humility. So one day, one alim told me, from South Africa, he told me after I finished my alim course, I went for 1 year in the path of Allah. And because I was just recently married, when I came to the Merkaz, it was troubling me. Ya Allah, why must I spend 1 year? I studied 7 years in the path of Allah. I'm married. What is the need for me to do? And this was troubling him a lot. And he said, I was restless. Anyway, he said, Allah made his sajda, the tashkil was made to the Maharashtra area. The time Maulana Yunus Poona rahmatullahi was still alive. So he said, when I came there into the circus of Poona, and it was Shabi Juma that night, I couldn't sleep. I was very restless. This thing was troubling. I think I must book my ticket back. I did spend time in the path of Allah by studying deen. I don't have to do this 1 year. And I just, nafs and it was playing with him. He said, because I couldn't sleep and I was restless, I decided, no point me sleeping, let me go down to the wuzu khana and then make wuzu and rather read namaz and ask Allah Ta'ala to let me overcome this difficulty I'm experiencing. You see, when I went to the basement where all the toilets and it were there, in the markas, as I passed there about 1:30, I seen somebody on their knees cleaning the toilet. And he said there was over 100 toilets there. Cleaning the toilets, when I looked properly, it was none other than Maulana Yunus Poona rahmatullahi alayhi. You see, that was sufficient for me. He said, I cried and cried and I said, Ya Allah, look at this man's humility. He's 11 months of the year, he's out in Allah's path. And look at the time at 1:30. Look how he's cleaning the toilets of Allah's mehman. He said, after that amal, throughout my 1 year, Allah gave me the tawfiq to complete my 1 year. And he said, every time the thought came of coming back, the scene used to capture my mind, and that used to give me the himmat to carry on. This is the effect of humility. It has such an impact on a person's life that it will be a draw card. But we have to be very careful. Our ulama, our shuyukh tells us, in humility there is pride also. It's a very fine line. Sometimes a person feels happy that people call me humble. So a person has to be sincere. Once a person was to sit in Maulana Umar Sapalan Puri rahmatullahi alayhi majlis and his bayan, and every time he used to tell Hazrat Maulana Umar Sapalan Puri, I'm nothing. So one day Maulana Umar Sapalan Puri rahmatullahi addressed him. I'm not sure, I think like an animal named buffalo, I'm not too sure, Hazrat always mentioned it also. And Maulana Umar Sapalan Puri seen that the whole nature and his whole expression changed. But out of adab and respect, he, since then he looked down. And after the thing he came, Maulana told him that I see you weren't too happy when I addressed you like that. See, I didn't like that, you called me that. But he had a lot of adab for Hazrat and a lot of love for Hazrat Maulana Umar Sapalan Puri. Maulana Mustafa told him that every time you say you're nothing, I may do something big. And he's not liking. So sometimes the nurse will also play six tricks with us. It will make us feel that we're humble, but in reality there's pride hidden in there, isn't it? That we feel happy people call us young, humble. So there we need the guidance of our shuyukh to guide us. What is true humility and what is fake humility? And really, beloved brothers, this quality will come about when we put our hands in the hands of a sheikh, and he can detect these minor things which is so, so delicate and so difficult to detect. More difficult than a black and a black stone and a black knight to detect the pride and all these things lurking in our hearts. I met someone, mashallah, he's prayed to a sheikh for some years now. So he told me that before I was linked to a sheikh, I used to make, for 5-6 years, I used to make a lot of zikr at home. And then when I put myself in the hands of a sheikh, the sheikh stopped me from all a lot of zikr and gave me the basics. And I couldn't understand, why is the sheikh making zikr? What is wrong with zikr? But anyway, he said you must always make yourself subservient to the sheikh. So I left it. He said after 4 months, I realized that at 5-6 years of zikr, I was doing it out of my own ego, for my own ego. In 3 months, being linked to the sheikh, Allah Ta'ala opened that and dawned that on my heart, that all the zikr you are doing, it was for your ego. And now, alhamdulillah, every time I start that little zikr with my sheikh gave me, I make sure I make muraqabah to say, Ya Allah, am I doing it for your pleasure? Ikhlas is coming. So these great benefits, beloved brothers. And this is what is the essence of the sawuf, and this is the essence of Islam. It's to us to understand and know the cunningness and the shrewdness of this nafs, And I'll put yourself in someone superior so that they can guide us and help us through. And may Allah bless us with this quality of humility. And may Allah take away all forms of pride and arrogance from us. Because this world, we do not know what will we stand and what Allah's opinion are. Once in one of the workers' job, Mona Ihsan was there, and he said, MashaAllah, this is called a worker's job where people spend a lot of time in the path of Allah. He said, and many people recognize each other as a tarkoon, as a worker. The question I asked, is in Allah's register we regarded as such? That's what matters. Does Allah regard us as such? Then that's what matters. And if we can look at every action of us with this, it will always keep us humble. It will always, inshallah, instill ikhlas. And one great quality will be that Allah will give us the quality of gratitude that will make shukr for whatever Allah Ta'ala has given us tawfiq to do. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal. And may Allah Ta'ala make us that inshallah all the bayanat that we're going to listen is in order to inculcate us. That we become inshallah such people that inshallah when we leave the world, we are true servants of Allah. That all these spiritual maladies and sicknesses will leave us from our hearts. Wa akhir da'an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى وإن تصبروا وتتقوا لا يضركم كيدهم شيئا وقال تعالى وإن تصبروا وتتقوا فإن ذلك من عزم الأمور وقال تعالى إن الله مع الذين اتقوا والذين هم محسنون صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Respect the elders, ulama, beloved brothers. The two instructions that Allah Ta'ala has given most in the Quran Kareem. One is the zikr of Allah. And the second is the quality of taqwa. This in itself will show us the importance of these two aspects in our lives. And these two things go hand in hand. For example, as Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, a person can stay in the company of the Shaykh for a protected period of time. But if he does not engage in zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ilawat of Quran al-Kareem, his sohbat and the effects of his sohbat will be very limited. So many of us might be thinking for a long time we've got sohbat with the Shaykh, but we are not progressing in this path of suluk. So each one, myself first and foremost, should ask the question that those things they are prescribed by the Shaykh, in particular regarding our daily askar, our tilawat of Quran al-Kareem. Probably for the last 1.5 years, we might be hearing Hazrat again and again talking about the importance of salah and making a salah of life. Really, how many of us have taken it to heart? They prescribe it for over 1.5 years, long before the last Islahi Jalsa. Months before that, if you work on the topics that Hazrat has been speaking about, primarily this is one subject matter and other things attached to it. How many of us have taken it to heart? Or is our bi'at some customary thing? Alhamdulillah, we have to show faith every Tuesday. That also is ghanimat, it's also a great benefit. But what is the mansha? What is the requirement? Whether we have brought that into our lives? So inshallah, before even I start my talk proper, now that I touch this topic, there's those few things. Each one of us. One is the emphasis that Hazrat is giving about salat, to see that a perfect salat we bring. Obviously nobody can make a total perfect salat, but our endeavor should be to reach a perfect salat. The perfect salat would be fulfilling the faraiz, wajibat, sunnat muakkadah, the mustahabbat, the adab, and the jan of salah, the ruh of salah, the essence and the core of salah, khushu and khudu. Al-Zakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi writes that although khushu and khudu, concentration and devotion, is not shartun listihati salah, it is not a precondition for the validity of salah. But then Hazrat says, it is shartun likubuli salah, it is a precondition for acceptance of salah. So your salat will be made. Any mufti will give you fatwa, your salat is made. But whether it reaches qabuliyat on which Allah Ta'ala has made the promises for salat, there's another question. So Allah give us tawfiq for that, what's the promise. And inshallah from now, every baligh male make azam and irada that no first salat will be left out without salat or jamaat. This is also a crime. Look at our entire country, wallah. Which masjid can say that our Muslims have increased? Every effort of deen is taking place. MashaAllah, the numbers are increasing. The khanqahs and ta'aluk of mashayikh has been increasing. The amount of brothers spending 4 months and 40 days in jamaat is increasing. The ulama are qualifying from the madaris. Hufaz are being churned out on a yearly basis in large numbers. All other type of activities of deen is taking place. How come it is not transforming itself into practical Islam? If each one take your own masjid, 6, 7, 8 years, 15, 20 years, has the Muslim rate increased really? Malam Umar Parampuri Rahmatullah Ali used to say, to see the condition of the Muslims come on a weekday for Fajr Salat, and see what improvement has been made in that. If there is improvement in that, then you realize that the qata of deen, the level of deen has increased in that locality. That is a practical barometer in yardstick to check how far we have progressed. And then obviously we have to build on this salat. It should not be just an outward shape of salat. The other is tilawat of Quran. That also we are lacking greatly in our lives. And this is one of the reasons we have to travel with our mashayikh. See the obsession with Quran, that every moment they get free time, they will open the Quran, make tilawat. Hours of journey, tilawat has become secondary in their nature. This is the purpose of our sohbat, to take that from the mashayikh, the tilawat of Quran. The third thing that we are very, very lax regarding is punctuality with our zikr. Each one asks, from last year, Islahi Jalsa till this year, how much time have I made zikr? How much time in firadi azkar and ishtimai azkar? In all our masajis, we should establish it in a way that the masjid allows, and keeping in mind the ethos and the root of the masjid, obviously. At the same time, we should not be confined only to that. Our islahi, our infiradi amal. What I was supposed to talk about, but kya kare? Regarding the zikr, Mala Manzoor Nomani, Rahmatullah Alayhi son, writes, and he mentions with great lament in his heart. He says, Hazrat Malana Inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, the thing that was suffered on his heart towards the end was those people preoccupied in all the different mashagil of deen, whether it be ta'aleem, ta'allum, whether it be in the khankas, whether it be in the form of tabligh and da'wat. The thing that is missing from all these shu'bahs has become that there is no zikr in it. Says Hazrat used to walk sometimes 2 o'clock in the markaz without any people knowing, and he would walk around to see if people are preoccupied on infiradi askar. And if he did not find that it had an effect on his heart, such an effect, that next day you would know that Hazrat felt it. And probably a cardiologist had to come and see Hazrat, because the effect, not about his personal, their spiritual heart also had an effect on the zahir of the people coming to the work of Dawud and Tabligh. The same thing is in the Khanqah, the same thing on the Talim and Talim. We should think of ourselves, we teach in Quran, we teach in Hadith, Tafsir. What is my own personal taluk of Quran? I'm expecting a child of 6 and 7 years to read the sabak 8 times. Should I not question myself, how did I walk in this class without making tilawat myself? How, with what dar de dil are you going to teach Tafsir when you haven't even completed your dhikr for the day? A time is to come in our lives that the tea is haram in the morning till my dhikr is not completed. My medication is not a haram upon me till my zikr is not completed. Greedy for For Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the fastest way towards Allah. Allah, there is no faster, quicker way than the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Think about it, we all now came this morning. How many of us, when we woke up and we wore our clothes, read the relevant to us? This is Tazkiyah. This is Islam. Like as I was explaining in the week. What is this? Amri Hal. What my Allah requires me at this moment to fulfill that? That is a very high level. To know everything that Allah requires. I'm wearing my clothing. When I'm conscious about the right to wear. Because it has become habit. Whether I purposefully read the dua or not is another question. And ask all of us the dua and you read it readily. We walk up to the house. What du'as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught at the time of Fajr? Allahumma raddini bi qadaik wa barik li fi ma qaddarta li hatta la uhibba ta'jila ma akharta wa la ta'khira ma ajjalta. Allahumma inni as'aluka bi haqqi mamshaya hadha wa inni lam akhruj ashiran wa la bataran wa la ri'an wa kharajtu ittiqa sakhatik wa ibtigha mardatik fas'aluka an tu'idani minan nar wa an taghfir li dhunubi wa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta. Wallahi your iman will be made just walking out of Fajr. That's the effect of the Sunnah of the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One dua Nabi sallallahu taught just walking out. Before even you reach the masjid, your ta'alluq with Allah will be very, very deep. But provided now we take Sunnah seriously, from the morning till the evening, everyone wants Sunnah we hold on to. And we check on a daily basis. Two things for our Islam, if you can do it. Have one seerah kitab on the side of your bed. Read for 5 minutes seerah, then Muhammad of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam increase. How do we channel the Muhammad of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Keep a Sunnah kitab. 5 minutes read. You don't have to read more than that. Every day read seerah before you sleep. Every day read the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and then see your taluk of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam increasing. I was discussing Hazrat Mawla Inamul Hasan Sahib. Then Mawla Sajjad Nomani says that I heard this with my very, very own ears from Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi. If I did not hear it, I would never quote it. You see, Hazrat Shaykh said the awliya of the time, one sifat of Allah's tajalli is upon them. Some sifat. Either the kindness of Allah, the compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, there's one person that I have seen that not only the tajalli of the sifat of Allah, the qualities of Allah is on him, but the zat and the tajalli of the sifat of Allah is on one individual. And he mentioned that individual is Mawla Inamul Hasan. He said, I've seen many buzuk, and he was his son-in-law. To a certain extent, a cousin that was adopted so by Mawla Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi. And he says, the primary reason for the tajalli of Allah's zat as well as his sifat on this personality was because of his infiradi amal and askar and adherence to sunnah. It's a very, very fast way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are talking about taqwa. So the one is the tilawat of Quran al-Kareem, our askar daily, and then see that we stay away from cell. The one thing is we are not staying away from the cell phone. So we can try to make what strides in our infiradi amal. If the smartphone, we don't have control over it, our amal is just going to go to waste. Even many of us, for good intentions, we have to see YouTube to listen to bayans. Inadvertently, adverts come, music is played. What nuraniyat you're going to get in a bayan where you're hearing in between every 3 minutes music? Now you put it off. By the time you put it off already, or you put it on silent, or you put it forward, skip, adverts, already by that time the music has settled in. And this has a great effect on our spirituality to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, there is many audio bayans you can hear. There is no need to go to YouTube to sit and listen to bayanat, etc., which is mixed with music, which is mixed with pictures. Till now the ummah transformation has been made without seeing the pictures of people that we are listening to. And Allah shukar, many people have achieved great, great piety in this regard. There is no need to see the person that you are listening to. Allah ta'ala give us all tawfiq. If these few things we can take, pabandi wa salat wa jamaat, and bring a salat of jahan. Second, make tilawat of Quran and Kareem. I will not have my tea. I will not have my medication. I will not engage in anything till I do not complete my tilawat of Quran and Kareem. I will not do any activity of dunya till my zikr is not completed. Then see in a short period of time your proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ayat al-kareema I read, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Don't die in Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha. Don't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the right of fearing. What is the right of fearing? First of all, taqwa has three different levels. In Bedawi Sharif, the marati of taqwa has been mentioned, the different levels of taqwa. One is the basic taqwa, to stay away from shirk. وَأَلْزَمَهُمْ كَلِمَةَ التَّقْوَى, which is the ayat of Quran al-Kareem, that reading لا إله إلا الله, that التبري عن العذاب المخلد, that you will be saved from perpetual and permanent adab. So that, alhamdulillah, to a certain extent we all got. Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu, Allah is a friend, so we got friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. We've got one level of taqwa. That is, we will be saved from perpetual punishment in Jahannam. But that doesn't mean that we won't go via Jahannam to Jannat. The taqwa that we are talking about, on which the promises of Allah has been made, امتثال أوامره واجتناب النواهي, to fulfill the commands of Allah, to stay away from every sin. Ulama have written, حتى الصغائر, even the minor sins. So everyone should endeavor. We are insan, كل بني آدم خطاؤون وخير خطائين التوابون. But to the best of our ability to stay away from sin. Make azam, like Hazrat mentioned, we are immature last night. That we just don't take courage. In everything else we got courage. But when it comes to these type of things, we say, I'm just too weak. My weakness is woman. My weakness is looking at woman, etc. So we need to take energy and strength. And then the third level of taqwa, which is referred to in this ayat al-Karima, to fear Allah, the right of fearing. One explanation given, that everything that preoccupies you from Allah, to remove yourself from it. For example, today sport has become a religion on its own. And many of us, we are still enamored by it. And we're wondering why you're not reaching Allah. Anything that preoccupies you from the remembrance of Allah, anything, to stay away from it, inshallah, then the person will come on to haqqa tuqati, the right of fearing. So if we have achieved the first two, let's not stay there. Now let's make an azam and irada to reach anything that will become a barrier in my relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مرفوع رواية النبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم which is Abdullah ibn Masood رضي الله تعالى عنه quote. And it's a مرفوع رواية, Rabi has mentioned it, Qatada has mentioned it, Hazrat Hasan Basri رحمة الله عليه has also mentioned the tafsir of حق التقاطي, that what is it, أي طاعة فلا يطاع, that Allah be worshipped and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not be disobeyed, أي يذكر, Allah be remembered, فلا ينسى, Allah do not be forgotten, and a yushkar fala yukfar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shukr is be made every day and in every morsel of food, like as I mentioned, say alhamdulillah with every morsel, that is the right of the food to an extent. A yushkar fala yukfar, and you should not be ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just moving forward, time is running out. Keeping the halat of the ummah in mind, the solution Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنْ تَذْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَدُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْخٌ. Two qualities. The qualities have been repeated in many places. وَإِنْ تَذْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَزْمِ الْأُمُرِ. Just now in coming, I was teaching regarding battle of Badr and battle of Ahad. There Allah ta'ala also has mentioned the same sifat of sabr and taqwa. And if the enemy attack you all at once, then we will help you with 5,000 malaika. Badr promises made of 1,000, then increased to 3,000, then 5,000 with two conditions. Sabr, taqwa, and if they attack you at one time. The subject of sabr and taqwa. What is sabr? All types of sabr, not the sabr that generally we Gujaratis know, or we that we speak Urdu, we know when we refer to sabr, we only refer to one sabr. Sabr fil musibat, patience to go and to take control over your heart in times of difficulty. But in Sharan, in the Arabic terminology, it is very, very broad. Sabr ala ta'a, to control yourself in the obedience of Allah. To get up a fajr, you slept at 2 o'clock in the morning, the ring goes at 4 o'clock, 4 to 4. Now, to take control over your nafs and to go to the masjid, that requires sabr. A beautiful woman walking past, every pore of your body is crying out, she might be the Mus world or the next Mus universe. And the hukam of Allah, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّ مِنْ أَفْطَارِهِمْ. Now you have to exercise patience. That also requires himmat. It requires himmat. Person can't reach Allah with lack of himmat. So that's sabr. And then obviously in the time of musibat. So وَإِنْ تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا, and you bring taqwa. Allah has promised. Wallah, more yaqeen that we have got than the sun rising tomorrow morning. We have all got yakin that the sun is going to rise tomorrow morning. More yakin you should have. When the ummah brings these two qualities, sabr and taqwa, la yadurrukum kaiduhum shay'a, weak enemy of Allah, weak enemy of his Rasul, weak enemy of deen, will not harm you in the least bit. We need conviction collectively on this. Then the halat of the ummah will change. Just to end with this incident, Mullah Jamshed Sahib of Raiwing Markaz, rahmatullah alayh, mentioned one, after the Barbary incident. Now the same halat is coming to India now, which happened in 91, 92, 93, 94. No condition has changed really. Yes, the form has changed outwardly. The mansha is the same. The destruction of the Muslims in India. So he says at that time, Mawlana Masjidullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has also passed away. So I came for Taziyah because I had Islahi Taluk from before. And this was the opportunity from coming from Pakistan to India. There's lots of rules, regulations. But somehow I did get permission. I came to Rai after went to make Taziyah. I came to Jalalabad. I came to the Markaz. At that time I found Mawlana Abul Hasan Nadvi Rahmatullah Ali. And Ghaziban, he mentioned that Mawlana Manzoor Namani Rahmatullah Ali, that were present in the Markaz waiting for Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali and Imam Al Hasan to complete the Mashura. And they, what they had come for? Mawlana Asad Madni was also there. They came to ask Hazrat to make dua for the halat of what is prevalent in India because of the Babri Masjid incident. Women's respect has been taken, Muslim shops have been looted and burned, and there's carnage in the streets. We have made requests through the Congress to the government, but nothing has changed. And whatever influence we had on government, we have utilized all those channels that were present, but nothing has changed. So Mawlana Jamshed says that I was much younger than them, but at this particular time, this ayat al-Karima came in my head. وَإِن تَسْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَدُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا. So I mentioned it. Mawlana Abul Hasan Nadvi mentioned the thinker of the Zamana as if this ayat has been revealed now. As if this ayat has been revealed now. Immediately they made Mashura before even going to Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. We need to make a'lan in all the masajid of India that the ummah has to come under just two qualities. He says we just made a'lan. We didn't even basically bring it in our lives. Already we've seen the carnage in the streets stopping already. He said, imagine if we brought these two qualities in our lives of sabr and taqwa. What would the situation be? The same two things are demanded in India at the moment. There would be no other solution besides these two qualities for the Muslims. The same two conditions is required in China at the moment, in everywhere in our lives also. The same two qualities are required. Allah's nusrat, Allah's madad is what these two qualities? The qualities of sabr and taqwa. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq to make aman. Inshallah, let's go with us. What azam when we leave this gathering. That all these talks that have been given for my Islam, for my Islam. Listen like a person that never heard. Every alim that is here, I feel from the crevice of my heart. It is not a matter of bayanat. Take it to heed. It is addressed to me directly. Don't even adab or sitting in ear. MashaAllah, I'm looking at all the brothers with great fervor they are looking. But normally we see, we're looking down like we have no need. Like this is not addressed to me. Sit even in your local masjid. The Jamaat is giving the 6 points. Let's not walk away because we heard it. He is addressing me. This is something for me on yaqeen on Allah. Don't show any indifference to the talks of deen wherever you are. Whichever Jamaat it is, whether it is with Ta'aleem, don't show indifference as long as you have talab. The secret of this path of suluk, wallah, the secret of this path of suluk is talab. As long as any person has got talab in this path, he will attain greatly. Allah Ta'ala gives all tawfiq.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi munshiril khalq min adamin, thumma salatu ala al-mukhtar fil qidami. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم نفس و شیطان دونوں نے مل کر ہائی کیا ہے مجھ کو تباہ اے میرے مولا میری مدد کر، چاہتا ہوں ہے میں تیری پناہ، مجھ سا خلق میں کوئی نہیں گو، بد کردار و ناماسیہ، مجھ سا خلق میں کوئی نہیں گو، بد کردار و ناماسیہ، تو بھی مگر غفار ہے یا رب، بخش ہے میرے سارے گناہ.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. An example of sitting here is like a father that one day was trying to illustrate the harms of alcohol. So he took his son one day in the park and he said, "Son, you see over there those four trees, if you drink too much alcohol, you'll look and you'll see 8 trees. So the son turns around and taps his father and says, "Dad, there's only 2 trees. So unfortunately, that's my condition. That I'm trying to advise, but actually, I have a problem." In any event, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kindness, the attention and the tawajjuh of Hazrat Mulana, our Shaykh Abdul Hamid Sahib, rahmatullahi wa barakatuhum, actually I asked Hazrat, I said, "You are my spiritual doctor, give me a sick note. I need leave. I can't, not for me to appear in work." But Hazrat refused. But in any event, we continue Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kindness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy on us. And really what we need within us is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person will realize who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and a person will want to give his life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like Hazrat just last night, and always reminds us that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually wants from us. The ma'arifat, the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person that has, all this mark, mind is a mudakara, not a bayan. These are things which you would have heard, and this is what I heard also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive me. We don't even know how to sit in a gathering. I'm still learning how to sit. This week, Hazrat reminded us how to sit. Sit with, one is, of course, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the qualities to sit is to sit in a gathering, we're still learning. But in any event, to sit in a gathering, to listen. A person should want to listen. Don't just be physically present here, but even mentally, spiritually be present in the gathering. Number two, have that quality of wanting to remember whatever is being discussed, whatever is being put forward. So to remember that. Number three, to practice on what is being said. And number four, to try to pass it over to others as well. So this is what we should try. And then also, we don't know where we will get. Like, we keep hearing that, attend every program. In fact, Hazrat said something this week, that not only in the programs, in a jalsa of this nature, you don't know who you might meet. Somebody might tell you one thing, even on the dastarkhan, for example, or you're walking towards, even to the bathroom, and it's simple. He didn't realize what he's telling you, but actually gold has come out of his mouth. This morning also, I was telling my friends, we were sitting with somebody, and the way he discussed certain aspects with me in general, not in alim also, many wouldn't even know him. And I sat back and I said, look at the level he has reached. We're still really scraping at the bottom. So in any event, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really is all around us. In the rain this morning, to have recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in each raindrop. What makes a raindrop big and what makes it small? Sometimes say the big drops. What's a big drop and what's a small drop? Where's the cloud? How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fascination of a cloud. We don't even see the water going up. We heard about, again, Hazrat last night elaborated on what science, the purpose of science. It should have taken us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't see the evaporation, but in any event, the water coming from different areas on the surface of this earth, sometimes from a river, sometimes, and that water might be sweet, or rather sweet water, or fresh water, then from the ocean, salty water, then it might be coming from your pool, affected by chemicals, that sort of water, then it's coming from the puddle of water where your motor car spills some oil, so that's dirty water, then muddy water, all going in the sky, but we don't see the oil, we don't see the salt, we don't see the chemicals.
all evaporating in front of us, we're walking through it, but we don't know about it. And then it comes, forms into one big cloud. And then this cloud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts all the water together then. And here all the water, when it comes down again, not oily water, chemical-based water, all the same. And what holds the cloud? And then you see the clouds moving. Now who's moving these clouds? Who's keeping the water together? Who's giving the command that now you fall, you break and you fall? That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything. When you go in, even in a plane, a person, I mean normally you'll take, the example is of a balloon. Balloon holding little water, small balloon. A pen which is minute, little prick, there is the whole balloon burst, all the water is coming out. The cloud, huge cloud like that. Sometimes somebody was telling me they went to New Zealand, say what, the cloud covers the entire mountain, also known as the lane of the long white cloud. And there, you know, if you're flying through with a plane, such a big object, yet when it flies through, doesn't mean that's the time it's going to pour down. The aircraft will go right through the cloud. And you won't even know you're passing. Hardly a few drops of water. So that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is looking after the system of water. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now recently we had those butterflies, that I don't know if it was in all parts of the country, but in Joburg especially last week. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was looking after the rain also, is that Allah who created the butterfly also. And what a unique creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now one wing of the butterfly. Who went and the colors on the wing, leave alone the design and the pattern of the wing. Such a fragile little wing. And that Allah that created this fragile butterfly is the same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that gave that huge elephant such trunks, or if you want the stumps of feet. What won't it do to one butterfly? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so carefully created one butterfly wing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the other hand, one stump of an elephant's leg. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in everything a person should be seeing Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمَ فَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Look at yourself. There was a Jamaat from Jeddah the other day by us. This brother gave a lovely example. He said, sometimes we receive a gift from somebody. For example, a watch. So every time we look at the watch, we'll think of the brother that gave it to us. MashaAllah, you know, I hardly even knew him and he gave me this watch. You know, how many years service I got out of the watch. Like, for example, and keep thinking. And Hazrat was saying, sometimes we'll even go to his, I will even attend his janaza just because he gave me the watch. How can't I? No, he gave me a watch and I have to go for the janaza. But whoever thought of the wrist that is on, that the watch is on? Then who gave me the wrist? Who allowed the wrist to do what it does? We're not going into that whole field. But who gave me the wrist to put the watch on? Who gave me the eyes to see the time on the watch? Did I ever thank that Allah? Did I ever see that Allah? And then who put the time on the watch? And who was the one that gave time? This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person recognizes this Allah, and this Allah comes in the heart of a person, then like they say, inqilab, a whole revolution will come. The malaika asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once, now, you know, I just casually know Arabic and the hadith sharif and it unfortunately. So I'm up for correction. But the malaika were discussing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why is Ibrahim alayhi salam so close to you? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, go and test him. See what, let's see, you know, imtihan. So imtihan was that the angel came down and he started reciting the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam's ear caught hold of the zikr. And it you know, the way, the beauty of the zikr and the way it was, the words and the way it was being said, just took Ibrahim alayhi salam's heart away. Immediately he rushed, not knowing it's an angel, a malaika, and he asked this person, please, whatever you have said, repeat it. So he said, no, I nothing for nothing. You give me something, nothing, then no mahala ya. So whatever you want something, please. And before I forget, just one note. That I story, please don't come test me. Eh? I said one joke about somebody asking for a push. He needed a push on a swing, also in one of the programs. And somebody 1 year later came to me and he tapped me and he said, boy, I need a push. Understand? It's random. I need a push. But I said, why are you talking? He said, yeah, last year you said the joke. So don't come. My eyes are weak. Just now I'll give you also 4 threes. And you'll say, but that means what he asked also. In any event, we continue. So Ibrahim alayhi salam asked the angel. The angel said, no, you have to give me something. He said, look here, I've got sheep. Half the flock I'll give to you. So the angel said, no problem. And he repeated that beautiful dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salam still not getting that contentment and that satisfaction. Like sometimes we're eating and we're just eating for the sake, just because it's so nice. We're full, we're satisfied, but just can't stop. So this was like, again, Hazrat said yesterday, that we should be getting with spiritual food. We should be getting more enjoyment from spiritual food than the physical food. I told my friend, I'll mention, he said chicken licken, they call it soul food. It's not soul food. Rohani food, not Rohani food. But in any event, this is real food, spiritual food. So Ibrahim alayhi salam again goes and he says again, nothing for nothing. He says, okay, the other half is yours. Again, he repeats the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim still not getting enough contentment. Hey, he wants more and he wants to hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name. Our Hazrat always tells us that, you know, today we're so allergic to dhikr. An allergy, normally if you're allergic to, for example, an orange, when somebody else eats the orange, you don't get the effect. You don't feel the itch and the scratch. But when it comes to dhikr, by and large, many people, somebody else is making dhikr, he feels the itch. He can't handle it. Like, how? This man is making dhikr. They're sitting together and making dhikr. So here Ibrahim alayhi salam goes and he asks the person, please, one more time. He says, now what are you going to give? You've got no sheep left. He says, well, then you got sheep, but you don't have somebody to look after them. I'll make myself a slave also. I'm prepared to become a slave of yours, just to hear the name of my Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes in a person's heart. You'll be ready to give up everything. Another example is, of course, it will help a person to give up sin. And this is the real thing. Hazrat always tells us, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one is a person is clearing a field of weeds, and you get tired picking one up. Eventually, by the time you come 3 meters in front, already started growing again. This is the way of getting rid of one sin at a time. But the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like taking a match, and you just put one match on that, on those weeds, and the entire area is gone. All the weeds are gone. So like that, Yusuf alayhi salam demonstrated this to what a degree when Zulaikha, she came in front and she made all the arrangements for haram to be committed. And at that stage, Yusuf alayhi salam, those words which he says, really, Allah make it, it comes into my life. Really, قَالَ مَعَادَ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايِ. A beautiful lady like Zulaikha. Yusuf alayhi salam in the prime, like you say, when the kettle was really boiling. He was a man after all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, like us, qualities, desires as well. And yeah, everything is presented. And she made all the arrangements, closed, locked all the doors also. Yet what he says, how can I disobey that Allah that gave me the rest to put my watch on, and that gave me the eyes to see the watch, that gave me the time to live in this world, and everything else around me before, now and forever. That Allah that looked after my every need, such a kind Allah, such a kareem Allah, such a loving Allah, such a generous Allah. When I deserve to be to go hungry to bed, Allah gave me the best meal that day. The day I deserve to put fire should have been my shoes, that day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the smartest of shoes. This Allah, how can I disobey this Allah? إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايِ. Can't be. When the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, then a person really is ready to give up. We spoke about Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then we'll say, but he was a Nabi of Allah. But look at the other Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullah alayhi. A king. Another king of the king of those days, we can't understand. Today you don't have kings like that. You have people who are elected. These people really owned the land. Gave up the land and gave up everything else with it. Went with a charter and he left his palace and his kingdom as well. And he goes and he sits on the bank of a river. And then a minister who was a former minister, was a minister in the time of Ibrahim, he comes walking past and he notices that this is the king. And look at him here, and he was sitting, Ibrahim bin Adham sitting and sewing, stitching his cloth up. And he says, is this the condition of the king, the man that wore the crown? The crown must have been so valuable alone, and then the jewels on the crown. He said, this is the condition, he gave everything up for this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired Ibrahim bin Adham to know what was the thoughts of the minister. Immediately he takes the needle, an rusted one, old one, even a new needle, and he throws it in the river. And the minister looks at him, like, what is going on with Ibrahim? And immediately Allah, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi, addresses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, says, Allah, I want the needle back. And they say, countless, I don't know how many, hundreds of fish immediately come onto the surface, out of the surface of the water, each one with a golden needle in its mouth, for Ibrahim to choose whichever one he wants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends. Ibrahim bin Adham says, no Allah, I want my needle. And a flowing river, one needle. Immediately those fish go down and one comes up with the needle of Ibrahim bin Adham. Immediately he addresses his minister, which kingdom is better? The one which I thought was mine, or the one which really belongs to Allah Ta'ala? Which kingdom? Now how do we get this? One is a person to reflect and to recognize Allah Ta'ala. But we can't. We can't see Allah. Like we heard all the other bayans. The pious, what they see, we can't see. Really we can't. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Quran Sharif, Ar-Rahman, fas'al bihi khabira. And if you want to know Rahman, then go to those that have recognized Him. And that's why we are here. That's why we are here. To learn who Rahman is. So that's the one. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. That come and sit with those that are truthful in the covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a second way is through the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran Sharif also, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. That if you want, tell them, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's easy, the recipe. Simple. That if you want the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then just follow me. Follow the way of my beloved, my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you want it, you will have it. And what is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In fact, before that, we'll just Hakim Akhtar Saab, Ramad Barakatuhum, in the poem which is world famous today. Naqshay qadam nabi ke hai jannat ke raaste, Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. The way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this will give you jannat. But leave jannat. Jannat, like we always hear, is udar. It is in credit, and nobody really likes credit. Everyone wants something in front now, cash on the table. As Hakim Saab says, follow this road of sunnat, the footsteps of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you will get Allah Ta'ala in this very world. In this life, you will get Allah already. The sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Allah Ta'ala is like a person that is walking through a supermarket. And as he's walking through the aisles, his eyes fall on a small child. And he looks at this child, and focuses a bit more attention. And as he looks at the child, he runs towards a strange boy. He runs towards him, and he picks up this child. The child, of course, gets anxious and he starts kicking and screaming. But and before he knows it, there's a lady that comes in, like, what are you doing with my child? And the man, he's startled, but he's okay, sorry, and just puts. So she says, what's wrong with you, man? So she's in today's age of, child trafficking. So he had to excuse himself. Then he explains. He says, actually, this child of yours, when I saw him, I couldn't help but be reminded of my child. Your child of 5 years old, I had a child that also went till the age of 5. And when I looked at my child, is no more. He had passed away. But when I look at yours, when I saw him, the outfit he wore, I had the same outfit for my child. The way your child's hair was brushed or combed, my child's hair was the same. The color of the shoes, the same. The way he was picking, the chocolate, my child used to do the same thing. I couldn't help myself. I just had to hold him. When Allah looks at this earth, and He looks at each one of us, and He sees your hair like the hair of His Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And He sees your beard like the beard of His Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And He sees your clothing like the clothing of His Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when he sees you move and talk and act and try to be like his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's love comes. And like he picked the child up, Allah will pick you up also. And like he took the child to his chest, Allah will take you to his chest also. The love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can never be understood. This is the easy, quick highway to Allah ta'ala. And then somebody else carried on with a few more lines of the poem that قلبو نظر بچائیے داری برائیے تخنو سے اپنی کرتا اوپر اتائیے محبوب حق بناتی ہے سنت کی اتباع ملتا ہے مولا عشق رسالت کے راستے. But look after your nazar and look after your heart. Meaning the sense. You want to obtain the love of Allah Ta'ala through the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You want to retain the love of Allah Ta'ala, then cast them out. This also we learn that the heart, always check the heart. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, once was sitting in a masjid. Somebody came to him, Imam Sahib, 40 ships of yours which you ordered goods from, you know, which you ordered goods, they're coming, your goods, they will, you know, you're waiting for them to land soon. All these news have come, all 40 have, they have all sunk in the ocean. Imam Sahib looked down for a little while, then he looked up and said, Alhamdulillah. Little while later, this man went away, came back a few moments later, Rashid said, Imam Sahib, sorry, news incorrect, this isn't the case, all 40 are well on their way. Imam Sahib looked down, looked up, he said, Alhamdulillah. This man was confused, 40 ships. We lose one pair of old socks in a masjid, somebody by chance takes it away. Finish. The whole mutawalli will hear about it, Imam Sahib will have to make dua for it, Muazzin Bichara will cry for it. One pair of old socks. Imagine. He says, what was this? Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, both times. He says, I checked my heart. 40 ships gone, did it affect my heart? My relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nothing. But still the same, Alhamdulillah. Now it came back, now I got it, I received it, still the same. So really to check that. And then the nazar, that is also miserably. To get this in order. And a person, we hear also, Hazrat told us, I think it was Hakim Akhtar Saab or maybe one of our other Kabirin, that was, they were at the airport, and that time on a wheelchair. And stay at the airport, you know how it is, you know, very, very difficult. Anyway, the flight crew, all dolled up, filing past Hazrat. And at that point, he immediately asked his Khadim, turn my wheelchair around and let me face the wall. Hazrat says, the world will say, what is wrong with you? So to say, like, Jannat Jalebis are walking here, what you? But no, my Allah doesn't want this. My Allah doesn't want this. So to cut sun out, so obtain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through sunnat. Retain it by keeping out guna. And then the last one is, how a person can maintain it. We need to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Constantly we need to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us one dua also. Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amali yuqarribuna ila hubbik. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with your love, grant us your love. And this is the main dua to make. Somebody also in the talks previously mentioned that a person makes many duas for many things, but you don't make this dua, actually you've missed out. The real dua you haven't made. And you've made this dua, you don't have to make any other dua. Because what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be yours. I'll just end with this one more. One of Hakim Akhtar Saab's Khalifa's also penned down a little ashar, and we read it down in our zikr as well. And this is what we should be wanting. We should be desiring.
Koi mujhse pooche main kya mangta hu.
Somebody asked me, what dua are you making? Every time I see you making dua, you're tearing, you're crying, you always look anxious for something.
Koi mujhse pooche main kya mangta hu. Main apne khuda se khuda mangta hu.
I'm asking Allah, Allah. I'm asking Allah, Allah.
Woh ho jaye mera میں ہو جاؤ اس کا یہی رات دن میں دعا مانگتا ہوں.
اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی must become mine and I must become his. Day and night, this is all that I ask.
ہے نا رات کی جس کی دوزخ سے بر کر اسی ذات کی بس رضا مانگتا ہوں. اصل مجھے دنیا کی خواہش نہیں ہے, میں بخشش پر روز جزا مانگتا ہوں.
I'll just explain one line here, I'll just give translation. But even the fire of Jahannam, the fire of Jahannam also, worse than this for me, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being upset with me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all His love and keep it, let us live with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala till we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah bihamdihi subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa amma ba'd. لقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. وقال تبارك وتعالى قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا إن في الجسد لمضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله ألا وهي القلب. وكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Honorable ulama, elders, brothers, and those who may be listening over the receiver, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Always we begin by praising Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and this praising of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't benefit in the least but Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, rather it is for our own benefit. This is one of the signs of the great kindness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala on His creation, that when they praise Him and they expound His praises, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases His creation in those bounties that He has bestowed onto them. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great gift of iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously elevate our iman and keep us till our last moments with iman. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us more in the condition that He is extremely pleased with us with complete forgiveness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our reckoning and our answering in the qabr easy, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us afiyat in akhirat, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala join us with the righteous on the day of qiyamah under the shade of His throne, in the presence of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at Hawza Kawthar, inshaAllah. These are big du'as, big aspirations, but the examples are very, very easy and commonly found in this world. That for small aspirations of the world, a lot of effort has to be put. And efforts of years, years of planning, correct planning, under the correct guidance, in the correct manner, before a person can achieve a small thing of this world. Here we are talking about great things of akhirat, and of things that are going to be remaining and never ending. And I myself, do I expect to do it with hardly any effort, with hardly any planning? So it's possibly a fruitless exercise. But here again, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, who is kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who commenced Quran al-Kareem with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is a great indication, unimaginable to us, of the great love and great kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His creation. If a person, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this ability to understand and recognize Him, so that this love can come within ourselves. And if we, as Hazrat had explained last night, that why should you make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One simple understanding is, Ya yunasu abudu rabbakum, O insan, not even for the believers, but O insan, O my creation, O abudu rabbakum, that worship you Allah, alladhi khalaqakum, That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has created you. So this level of understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one that Allah is our creator. And we have no say in the matter. We are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be doing whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us. There is no two ways about it. In this world, we have people who are under employment, and how much do we abuse them? And that is only because of the fact that we are paying a wage, we are paying a small salary. That is in no way, but we feel that we have the right. But how unfortunate that yet we meet that type of treatment to our people in our employment, but we fail to recognize our Creator, and how much do we really, in return, pay back to our Creator. So we are very, very guilty. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again through His kindness says, وَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ. That turn in repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving. And with the barakat of turning in forgiveness, not only will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then still favor you. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send down abundance of rain, meaning that there will be an abundance of vegetation, abundance of fruit, abundance of food, and abundance of comfort. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالِ وَبَنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase you with regard to your children, and these are our real assets, بِأَمْوَالِ وَبَنِينَ, and with regard to your wealth. And this is something that we are all striving for, unfortunately, in the wrong manner. بِأَمْوَالِ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make gardens for you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create different aspirations and different ni'mat for you. All these things, after a person disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he turns in repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in view of that, doesn't say, I only forgive you, but Allah bestows him, gives him more. As we have learned from Hazrat Muhammad ibn Hamid Sahib, that commonly if there is somebody in your neighborhood and he is troubling your children and causing takleef to them, difficulty, but then now you call a little gathering of your friends, of your child, and you're distributing some sweets, well, then everybody will queue up in the line very quickly, so you give. But now this child from the neighborhood who was troubling your child, he's also standing in the line. So will you give him a sweet or will you give him a slap? You will give him a slap and say, get out from here. But Allah is what Allah gives us. Allah gives, we are who are disobedient, Allah gives us also. So really, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, has mentioned very, very clearly what is our objective in life. And this is something that we, as Hazrat had explained last night, we should constantly be asking ourselves, and this is what is termed management by objectives. So we should manage ourselves by our objectives. So the objective from our creator has been that you have been created to recognize me, you have been created to worship me, you have been created to obey me. And where have we come from? We have come from the creation. We have come from our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are in this world for a very short period of time, a limited period of time. Yes, the temptations are there, but the solutions to those temptations are also very, very easily found. And it is found in the company of the Ahlullah. That is, those who are the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have spent time in the company of those people and have learned the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put two qualities or two facets within a person that affects him. One is the emotion of the person, and one is this nafs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, and the heart. So in one hadith, in the hadith Sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam had spoken that, and this is also found on the pamphlet of the Jalsa, that in the body there is a certain piece of flesh. If that is correct, then the entire body will be corrected. And if there is a deficiency in it, then the entire body will suffer the deficiency that is found in this part of the, in this piece of flesh. And this is referred to as the heart. We very well can understand that generally the easy way to understand physical diseases, which is very common and prevalent today, that a person has heart problem, cholesterol problem, he has a problem with his lung, his liver, his heart. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect each and every one of us. And for those who are ill, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of them shifa. So for the rectification of this physical ailment, it is easily understood, and to take treatment for one's physical ailment is not faradh. But it is sunnah that a person can adopt those means. So if he will go, then he will not go to a plumber or he will not go to a carpenter and say that I have a problem with my eye. It's easy to understand. He will go to a physician, a doctor, and the doctor then will guide. And he will, if he's a competent physician, a physician who is qualified and is certified also. There's a difference between qualified and certified. I learned a few years ago. But anyway, we'll come to that aspect. So if he goes to a physician who is certified and qualified, and so you follow the prescription of this physician, and inshallah, if Allah wills, then in a few moments or a few passing of time, if Allah wills, that person will get shifa. So in a similar way, but if a person has to pass away, then he would have passed away and his maut would have come, that ailment would have come to an end. Hazrat has explained to us, and this is the reality, that just as you have physical ailments, there are also spiritual ailments. And the spiritual ailments are ailments that affect us in terms of our emotion and in terms of our outlook. But the importance of our spiritual ailments and the catastrophic effects of not treating our spiritual ailments by far outweighs the effects of the harms of our physical ailments. As explained, a person will pass away and that his physical ailments will come to an end. But his spiritual ailments affect a person whilst he is living in this world also. It will affect him in his qabr also. It will hamper his ability to answer to these questions posed by the malaika. And in the akhirat, he will have to account for the injustices that have been caused because of his spiritual ailments. So amongst the spiritual ailments that are mentioned, these spiritual ailments are also mentioned in the Quran Sharif. So it is not something that is just made up. So Hazrat gives an example, this one ayat of the Quran Sharif and has been touched previously. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. That with regards to the lowering of our gazes, for that, those things which we are prohibited to look at, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us that lower your gazes. And this is one aspect of, and Allah Rabbul Izzah gives jazayah khair to Hazrat Hakim Sahib, that when he had come, this was one aspect that was, it was known, but it wasn't really expounded in the beautiful way that Hazrat had explained to us. And so Allah Tabarak wa ta'ala has mentioned that we should lower our gazes. And in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned that la'ana Allahu an-nazira wal-manzura ilayh, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's curse is upon that person who looks and that person who makes themselves, beautifies themselves to be looked at. So we never understood. Generally, like as was a person unoblivious on the, in a day-to-day basis in our lives, we are looking at billboards, we may be looking at magazines, we're looking on the phone. Pictures of women come, pictures of beardless youth come, and we look at it with lust. So this is a very, very great sin, and it is such a sin that brings upon the curse of Allah Tabaraka wa Taala. So then we ask ourselves, and we think that no, we are reading our salah, we are performing tilawat, we are giving zakat, we are doing certain actions, and we judge ourselves very, very easily, and we judge ourselves in a nice way. We say, no, we are okay. But when you look at a person on the outside, then he may be committing one sin. But then we take him to task very severely. We say, that person is a very bad person. But the amount of good that that person may be having within him, that we do not concentrate on. It should actually be the opposite way. We should be criticizing and judging ourselves severely, and we should be finding excuses for people that if we see them, to the extent that Hazrat has taught us, that if you see a person coming out from a bar, where they sell liquor generally, so we should make excuses, many excuses, to justify why he is going over there. So perhaps maybe he had some need, he had to make an urgent phone call, it was an emergency situation, or he had to purchase something, not liquor, but maybe something to fulfill a need for somebody else. So we should be making excuses, because if we are called to answer that you had a bad thought about a person, how can you justify it? So how are we going to answer for it? So coming back to this aspect of safeguarding our gaze, this is creating a great amount of havoc in our spiritual life, creating an effect in our lives of our families, in our relationship with people also. So this is such a spiritual ailment that it creates a disturbance in our lives, and all spiritual ailments are such that they disturb us in such a way that we are inconvenienced in a manner that we are suffering, but we are sometimes unaware of it. It is only when a person has his ailments treated, then he realizes what a comfortable life I ought to have been living. For example, a person had a boil in an awkward spot, but now he doesn't want to go and expose it because he feels embarrassed about it, and he keeps it with him, so years will pass by, and he will be suffering, and he will be in pain, and he'll be just trying to suppress it all the time, but he's, until sometime, a good friend comes to him and tell him that, you know, there's a good doctor over here, and he will teach you, and you will benefit from it. So reluctantly, maybe he goes, and he probably has reservations, like generally we have when we hear about coming to these majalis, etc. But nonetheless, when he goes and he takes the treatment, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grants him cure, then he sees the entire world differently. He feels everything completely different, and he enjoys this new quality of life. This quality of life generally we are all aspiring for, and the success that we are aspiring for, we only understand it in the physical manner. But there is a great amount of enjoyment of a quality life in removing our spiritual ailments. When we come to the mashayikh, our spiritual doctors, and they will diagnose each person according to his own disability. We cannot on our own diagnose it, but when we come and sit in the company, and we come very importantly with talab and an open heart, when a person comes with a criticizing heart or a criticizing attitude, I'm going to come and see what is there. I'm going to make points, whether it's pertinent or not pertinent. Some might just come to say, well, we've come for the Islahi Jalsa, but we just come to see, we meet our friends, or we just come to discuss, or I'm coming to meet somebody, etc. No, we should actually come with a complete intention that we are coming for our reformation. Coming back to the point, so when the spiritual doctors, when the mashayikh will diagnose our spiritual ailments, and they will give us our shifa from it, then we will find that our quality of life changes completely. We will be living in this world in a condition that we are completely at peace with ourselves. Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi used to say that apparently it's difficult to change the condition of the world, all the different halat and the condition. For one person to do it is a bit difficult, but it's very easy for a person to change his own condition. And when a person changes his own condition, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him sukoon, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him qiyan, and then he will live in tranquility, although the environment around him is one of uneasiness. So this is what we should all aspire for, and this is the promise of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that إِمَّنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises a good life for a person who does amal saliha, who obeys Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Now, generally we find that we have these aspirations that we find difficult. So how will we get the scheme and how will we get the power to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make it easy for us? Come in the company of the mashayikh. Just like how we are sitting here, we are experiencing our condition that before we had come, and now that we have spent a few moments in these gatherings, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making us more conscious, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us this ability. We have come here, it hasn't been because of our own doing. Let us understand this very, very nicely, that we haven't come on our own. It's not that I paid a ticket, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us. This is an indication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give us something. So we should correct our intention, we should sit with talab, we should sit with the understanding, we should make notes that we want to purify ourselves and our internal conditions. We mustn't feel shy to discuss it with our mashayikh and take the remedy. And after taking the remedy, may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala cure us all. So, and we don't have one or two, we have many, many. I myself have many of these spiritual ailments. So may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us shifa from our spiritual ailments. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq that we engage ourselves in zikrullah, we engage ourselves in tilawat of Quran, in the prescriptions that are shown for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us maut on iman in a condition that is pleased with all of us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all, unite us all in akhirat, and let us, and one, as has been mentioned, Hazrat Hakim Sahib has said, that the way that is loved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sunnah. For this is the kitab of Hazrat Piyari Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ke piyari sunnah. We should all try and acquire this kitab and try and practice one sunnah that is mentioned for the different occasions. Also, Hazrat Hakim Sahib used to stress the importance of kindness towards women. Women are made from are very special to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person, Hazrat Hakim Sahib used to say that I am like the well-wisher for women. So we should try and show kindness and compassion and overlook, especially to our wives, and don't take this, not for the secretary, etc. I was reading one kitab about the Hakim Sahib. Says there, when the woman comes and she presents herself to you and she wants, now don't say, now I need to be kind and express my. There, he says, sometimes even if you swear to and get her out of you, do it at that particular occasion. It won't be haram at that occasion. So just get an understanding correctly for myself also, inshallah. So may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala accept all of us, our coming over here, make it beneficial for each and every one of us. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala forgive all of us and make our complete Islam. We ask Hazrat also to continue making dua for us as he always does, and all the mashayikh. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all the aspects of deen, the branches of deen, grant them all taraqqi and grant us the ability to participate in all of those aspects of deen also, inshallah.